We have United States versus Smith, Mr. Bergson. Bergson.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Alfred Bergson. I'm a third-year law student at the University of Wisconsin. Today I'm arguing on behalf of appellant Quincy Smith. This case comes out of the district court in Rock Island where Mr. Smith entered a guilty plea conditioned on this appeal of his motion to suppress.
He seems to have waived everything that he could have argued. I don't understand what's left.
Well, actually, Your Honor, at the district
court... He seems not to have challenged the legitimacy of the stop, right?
It's true, Your Honor, that in his motion, the...
Right, they didn't challenge that. So if the stop was lawful, then everything else follows, right?
Well, Your Honor...
He stopped, look in the window, there's the sparkly flakes, and then search. So everything follows from that. So I don't see where he can get to first base, given that he's not challenging the legitimacy of the stop.
Well, Your Honor, the legitimacy of the stop, that issue was actually, was not waived at the district court. It was not waived at the motion to suppress hearing.
Well, that's the big problem here, because ordinarily, under Rule 11, if you're going to enter a conditional plea, it has to be in writing, so that everybody knows exactly what's being preserved for appellate review. And this was not a conditional plea in writing as required by Rule 11.
That's true, Your Honor, although in this circuit, the conditional plea actually doesn't have to be in writing if it's clear from the guilty plea transcript from the hearing that everyone's on board and everyone knows exactly what's being...
Well, not everybody's on board in this case.
Well,
it says it's all waived.
Well, at the guilty plea hearing, the court made it very clear, and the government acknowledged that what was being reserved was the results of the motion to suppress. And the ruling on probable cause, on the legitimacy of the traffic stop, that was part of the result of the motion to suppress.
But the government says in its brief, page 6, at the hearing of the motion to suppress, Smith did not contest the propriety of the initial stop. Is that a correct statement?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, why isn't that the end of it?
Because, Your Honor, there was no affirmative under...
What difference does it make? I mean, if he doesn't contest it, what is the district judge supposed to do?
Well, the district judge made factual findings on the issue and came to a conclusion of law. And he made a probable cause determination on the issue. The government...
Well, of course, if the police officers say, yes, we stopped him because, you know, he didn't have his lights and so on, and he doesn't contest that, well, the judge is going to, you know, say, yeah, the stop was legitimate. So why isn't that the end of it?
Well, Your Honor, the evidence put on by the government and the factual findings made by the district court and the conclusions of law.
Well, because, but if he's not going to contest it, of course the government's going to put on less evidence. So, I mean, this is sandbagging if you bring up on appeal for the first time a complaint about a stop.
Well, with all due respect, Your Honor, the government put on quite a bit of evidence. They put on... They asked the police officers extensively about the traffic stop, the reasons for it, and that created a record, and that plus the judge's factual findings created a record by which this court can review the decision, the legal conclusion made by the district court. Your Honor's waiver, really, it's about maintaining the function of the appellate court, making sure there's a record on which the appellate court can review conclusions of law by the district court, making sure cases go through channels, etc. None of those concerns are implicated in this case because...
I don't think that's true because we're supposed to... No, because we're entitled to have the benefit of the best thinking of the district judge, and if an issue isn't contested, the district judge isn't going to spend a lot of time on it.
That's true, although I would point out that the district court actually spent quite a bit of time. He spent... out of the 6 pages of factual findings, 2 of them were devoted to the stop, and 1/4 of the police officer's testimony was directed at the stop. So there's a record here, right? There's factual findings by the district court. And based on those findings, the police officers didn't have probable cause. So, again, we're challenging not the factual findings of the district court, but the probable cause determination. which is reviewable de novo by this court. And here's where the district court erred in applying the law to the factual findings. The justification for the stop offered by the government was a violation of the Illinois traffic.
That was the principal justification.
Pardon? Your Honor?
That was the principal justification.
That's true.
Not the only one.
That's right.
Does it matter if their second one was secondary?
Okay, the second one was about the failure to signal. That was after the fact. And by after
what do you mean after the fact?
Okay, well, by after the fact, I mean...
You said you weren't challenging the fact findings.
That's right. And the factual finding by the district court on this justification was that it's not specifically why the police officers stopped the car.
Well, you're hedging with specifically. It wasn't their main reason. It was a reason.
Well... I would say that the district court found that it wasn't why they stopped the car, and more
well, where
importantly,
is that? Where are you relying on?
I'm relying on page 122. He says,
and
he does say specifically.
In the old days, you would have argued this was a pretextual stop, but that doesn't fly anymore.
That's true. And in fact, Your Honor, it's really.
Well, what are you? Where's this 123?
On page 122 of the.
Well, where is it in your brief? Look, you're supposed to put in your appendix the opinion that you're challenging.
It was a 130-page long transcript.
Pardon?
It was rather long. It was 130 pages. The transcript from the suppression hearing.
130 pages just on the stop.
That's true.
Anyway, you're supposed to do it.
Okay. The finding by the court about the reason for it, the second justification for the stop, is in the brief at page 5 and 6, and on page 6 at the top, the court maintained that the police officers indicated that not specifically why they stopped the car. And here's I just want to distinguish this case from the pretext cases. This is really a step beyond Wren and the other pretext cases, right? Because Wren said that no matter what the subjective motivations for the stop by the police officers were, as long as they relied on a traffic statute to make the stop, as long as they had probable cause under a traffic statute, the stop was fine. Right? But in this case, whatever the subjective motivations of the police officers actually were, the statute, the traffic statute they relied on, the license plate light statute, it didn't give them probable cause based on the fact...
They had this 100 feet from the intersection, too.
So then, if they didn't rely on that when making the stop, what ruling for the government in this case would do would give the police until the suppression
hearing...
Well,
look, Hufford testified, as we proceeded behind the vehicle, we observed the vehicle turn northbound, failing to use a turn signal 100 feet prior to the turn. So according to his testimony, he observed a violation of the traffic code.
That's true, Your Honor. I want to save some time for rebuttal, but just to briefly answer that question. Again, Officer Hufford certainly testified as that he saw the violation. However, the findings of the district court were, and we're not asking this court to review the factual findings. The factual findings of the district court was that, again, it's not why they stopped the car. It's not specifically.
But again, you're sandbagging because you said you weren't contesting the legality of the stop.
In the hearing
where we made these findings, there was no contesting the legality of the stop.
But the legality of the stop was at issue, and based on the factual findings,
how is it at issue when there's no contest?
It's at issue because of all the evidence put on by the government. The government put on, again...
But the evidence wasn't contradicted, including Hufford's evidence. Part of the evidence the government put on was Hufford's statement. He observed a violation. That evidence wasn't contested.
That's true. But based on that evidence and the evidence of Officer Duncombe, the district court came to certain factual findings.
It doesn't matter. Hufford, he had no basis for disbelieving Hufford's testimony.
That's true, although I would point out that Officer Duncombe's testimony on the issue was rather ambivalent. And based on that evidence, again, we're not asking the court to re-examine the evidence. Based on that evidence, the district court found that One light was burnt out, meaning one was illuminated, and this is not specifically why they stopped the car. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bergson. Mr. Mahochko?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is John Mahochko. I'm an Assistant United States Attorney in the Central District of Illinois in the Rock Island Branch Office. And I'd like to pick up the Court's discussion on the waiver issue. This is a clear-cut case of an intentional relinquishment of a known right by the defendant in this case. He repeatedly represented to the District Court that he was not challenging the grounds for the stop. And in that vein, it's very similar to the Clark case of this Court. At the very beginning, he told the Court, I'm contesting the searches, the initial pat-down of the Terry search and then the subsequent search incident to arrest. He also challenged the search of the vehicle. And when the District Court found early on that he did not have standing to challenge the vehicle stop, he then said he was challenging the searches of the defendant. That's at pages 4 through 8 of the suppression transcript. Then later on, there's the testimony of the mechanic who examined the vehicle and testified that one of the two license plate lights was operative. The Assistant United States Attorney who handled this case objected, said, I spoke with defense attorney counsel before this hearing. He represented to me that the stop was not an issue, therefore this evidence is irrelevant. The District Court specifically asked the defendant whether he was challenging the stop. He said, no, this evidence goes to the credibility of the officer. Finally, during argument, he reiterated, the defense counsel and the defendant reiterated the Terry issue. And when the District Court pointed them to the Maryland versus Wilson case, pointed out that when there's a legitimate traffic stop, the officer can order the passenger out of the vehicle, defense counsel said, and I wouldn't raise any objection in this case if all the officer did was ask the driver and Quincy, the passenger, to step out while they completed a traffic arrest. That's pages 117 through 118 of the suppression transcript. And finally, he completely ignored the issue of the stop in his motion to reconsider. In this case, the issue was identified repeatedly. It was repeatedly represented to the court that it was not an issue, and therefore it was waived by the defendant as unreviewable by this court. It likely reflects a strategic decision on the part of defense counsel not to take a scattershot approach, but to focus the suppression issue on the searches. There are good reasons for doing that. Finally, Your Honor, if you do not find that the argument on probable cause for the stop was waived, it was certainly forfeited in this case. Repeatedly, it's completely absent from the motion to suppress, completely absent from the motion to reconsider. There was brief background evidence about the grounds for the stop, but there was absolutely no argument as to whether or not there was probable cause for this stop. In short, I submit that this is a case of clear-cut waiver, and I ask the decision of the District Court and the judgment to be affirmed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mahochko.
Thank you.
Mr. Bergson, this time does he have 1 minute?
Thank you, Your Honor. First of all, I'd just like to point out that the government has already brought this argument up in its motion to dismiss the appeal, which was denied. And
it doesn't matter. I mean, we have law that says, you know, when these the decisions by motions panels, you know, since they're not based on a full adversary presentation, we freely re-examine them when the case is argued on the merits.
That's true, Your Honor. Although I don't think the government has offered anything here in its brief or at oral argument.
It doesn't matter. The point is that, you know, issues being considered at greater leisure with full briefing.
Okay, Your Honor. First of all, again, just to remark on the concerns of waiver and forfeiture, procedural default in general. It's to make sure that there's a record by which the appellate court can review the legal conclusions of the district court. Again, the government put on.
That may be the purpose, but if you have an explicit waiver, we're not going to look behind it to see whether enforcing the waiver rule serves the ultimate reasons behind it.
I see my time's up. May I briefly answer
that?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Again, all the instances about the conduct of the defense attorney. Really, in context, those aren't explicit waivers of the entire issue.
They certainly sound explicit. They sound as if he wants to sever the issue of the the search of his person from the question whether the traffic stop was legitimate.
That's true, but
he repeatedly conceded it was legitimate.
Well, I would say that most of those instances with the mechanic, the words of the defense attorney at the end before the judge made factual findings, those were, in context, those either dealt with particular evidence, right, that was being directed towards one issue or another, or particular issues. When the defense counsel says, I wouldn't have a problem with it if so forth, if certain things about the stop were different. Again, that was in context. That was in a discussion about the seizure itself, and didn't go to the stop. The stop was talked about, I should say, before that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Beckstrom, and you were appointed, so we thank you for your efforts.
I'm sorry, that was your first appearance before any court.
Yeah.
You know the term "baptism of fire," and you know what it means.
The Wisconsin Law School did well. You did a nice job.
I agree. Okay.